Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Proverbs, chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, verse 10 and 13 through 18. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, "Come, eat of my bread, and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness, and live, and go in the way of understanding." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing, for she sits at the door of her house, on a seat by the highest places of the city, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, "Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, who is the wisdom of God, and who proclaims that wisdom through his word, your fellow redeemed. ILC begins their 2012-2013 school year tomorrow. Our school begins its year in a week and a half. And by the Tuesday after Labor Day, most every school in our state and the country has its new session beginning. And what will these schools be doing? Well, hopefully, they'll be teaching our children. Teaching our children the basics. Reading, writing, arithmetic, and much more. But how many of them will be teaching our children wisdom? Our whole service this morning is based on this one thought of wisdom. Our hymns all have wisdom as its basis. Our scripture readings and this morning's sermon text speaks of wisdom. Our prayers this morning talk about this thought of wisdom. The book of Proverbs is a book of wise sayings. In fact, the theme of the book of Proverbs is one of the verses of our text. Verse 10, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." This morning's text from chapter 9 of the book of Proverbs is a section that summarizes the thoughts of Solomon from the first 8 chapters as he talks about wisdom. In these chapters, Solomon encourages his readers to walk in the way of wisdom, to follow wisdom, and he personifies wisdom as a woman. In chapter 3, we read, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her." God's definition of wisdom is more than just head knowledge. It's more than just learned facts. It's more than taking what you've learned and then applying them to problems. Wisdom, God says, is knowing Him. Knowing who God is and knowing what God has done for mankind. And that wisdom comes only from God's Word. As you mentioned, chapter 9 then kind of summarizes the first 8 chapters of the wise sayings of the wisest man in the world, Solomon. In this chapter, now he differentiates between the way of wisdom in the way of folly. Wisdom is mentioned in verses 1 through 6, folly in verses 7 through 12. Solomon encourages all of us to examine our lives. Where are we walking? Who are we following? Are we following wisdom? Or are we following the world's folly? There are two significant storylines in our brief text this morning. The first is the banquets that wisdom and folly make for mankind. The second is the invitation that wisdom and folly sets out for mankind. And so as we examine ourselves and look at these two, our theme says, whose invitation will you listen to? Will you listen to wisdom or to folly? At first glance, our first point says, they both sound great. Well, let's look at them again carefully and look at the two invitations and the two banquets to see, do they really sound great? Let's look at verses 1 and 2 again from our text. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. We see that wisdom is really concerned about the welfare of those who are going to come to her house. She prepares her own meal. She builds her own house. She slaughters her own meat, makes her own wine, sets her own table. This is all a picture of God's preparation of our salvation. God goes to meticulous detail to make sure that every single facet of our salvation has been prepared for us. The house is built. Seven pillars. A large house. What does Jesus say? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. Next comes a preparation for the food. We're told that she prepares her own food. Literally, the Hebrew there is, she has slaughtered her slaughtering. Describes taking the animal, slaughtering the animal, then preparing the meat for the meal. That word slaughter is also used in Isaiah 53 verse 7. Speaking of the Messiah, the Savior, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. The slaughter of the Son of God for the sins of the world is the most vital part, the most important part of this spiritual meal that wisdom prepares for us to spiritually partake of. Next, she mixes her own wine. In the Hebrew Old Testament times, they would mix wine with tasty spices to make the meal taste even better. But also mixing the wine can be a picture of Jesus shedding his own blood on the cross. And so we see that this meal, this spiritual meal that wisdom is giving us, is really the sacrifice of Jesus. The slaughter of Jesus on the cross, his shedding of his blood upon the cross, that we are to partake of spiritually. Not the Lord's Supper, but to take through faith. To inwardly digest. To receive through eyes of faith. So, everything's all ready now. Ready for us to eat. We read in verses 3 through 6. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live and go in the way of understanding. Wisdom not only sends out her maidens to proclaim this message, she herself cries out from the highest places of the city. She wants everyone to come to this meal, to partake of her goods. Picture of Jesus, of course. In his lifetime, he proclaimed the word of God. He personally invited people to come to him, the Savior, the Messiah. And he continued to do that after he left this earth, through his word, by means of his disciples, by means of his servants, you and me. He said to us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wisdom's invitation is to all those who are simple, all those who lack understanding. Literally, the word there, simple, means naive, easily enticed, inexperienced. Wisdom is interested in all people, especially those who realize they have no wisdom, that they're fools, apart from God. You've heard the invitations, haven't you? The Old Testament invitation, Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Jesus' invitation, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And the invitation, Revelation 22, and the Spirit and the Bride says, come, and let him who hears say, come, and let him who thirsts, come, and whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Throughout Jesus' life here on this earth, he showed his concern for the downtrodden, for the simple, for the sinners, for those who were rejected by society, not by condoning their sins, not by taking part in their sins, but by lifting them up out of their sins, forgiving them, and then through the power of the Word, giving them the ability to turn their backs or turn their hearts away from this sinful lifestyle. So that's wisdom's invitation. That's wisdom's banquet. Let's compare that now to folly. Folly's invitation, verses 14 to 17. For she sits at the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. The same words that wisdom said. And as for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. You notice, folly doesn't go out of her way to search out people. Doesn't send people out into the byways and highways to call them in. She just sits there and waits for unsuspecting people to come walking by and then lays a trap for them. Which they're going straight on their way. In other words, they're minding their own business. What a scary picture we have of the world's allurements, the world's temptation to you and me. We don't know where it's going to be. Around the next corner, driving to work, walking. Folly's invitation is the same as wisdom. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. But look at her attitude. Her attitude is completely different. She considers them who come in only as suckers, who've fallen for a trap. That's clearly seen in the banquet that she offers. There's no nourishment, no substantial thing here. She doesn't give wine and succulent meats. She offers bread and water. But notice the enticement. Notice the allurement. It's stolen water and bread eaten in secret. The temptation to do something that is contrary to God's word, something that is sinful, makes stolen water and bread eaten in secret more appealing than even succulent meat and wine. And if you think that can't be true, then just think of Adam and Eve. They had all the fruit in the world to eat. They had all the food in the world to eat. And they listened to Satan say, yeah, but this fruit is the best fruit. The fruit you can't eat is the fruit that is the best for you because it'll make you just like God. And that allurement is the same thing Satan uses today. And that's folly. Leading us to think that walking on the wild side is more fun. Going outside of the lines in our life is better. Living not according to the rules and regulations is more interesting. And so we're tempted, young people, to underage drinking, or getting high on drugs, or getting drunk. How about sex before marriage, or adulterous affairs, cheating to get ahead? All those things, a temptation to foolishness. Come do these things, you'll have true wisdom. And they lead only to death. You see, in reality, both banquet invitations don't look good. In fact, when we look at what's behind these invitations, we see that one leads to life, the other leads to death. And that's our second and third point this morning. Look at what's behind the invitations and think about the end result. In verse 6, wisdom says, forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding. In verse 18, folly says, but he who does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. What a blessed future on the one hand, what a scary, fearful future on the other. Because we're the simple. We're the ones who lack understanding. We're the ones who don't have wisdom because of our sinful natures, our darkened minds and souls. We're the ones who are walking blindly down the street. And so easy for folly to say, hey, turn in here. What can we do? Come to his word. Come to wisdom. Come to his services every Sunday and hear the wisdom of God proclaimed to you. In our Sunday school, adult Bible study, confirmation classes, in our Christian day school. Come to hear what we need to hear. That all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none good, no, not one. That we all deserve eternal death and damnation because of our sin-filled heart, body, and soul. We need to hear the wisdom of God saying, but God still loved us lost sinners, that he sent his Son to be that slaughtered Lamb of God for us, to be the meal that brings us forgiveness, life, and salvation, to call us to eat of him spiritually. And then he rose from the dead to assure us of everlasting life and prepares a meal for us, a succulent meal, through his powerful word. But folly doesn't give up. Folly is everywhere we look. And so the world calls us out, hey buddy, hey ma'am, turn in here. Look here for wisdom. Follow my ways. For my ways of wisdom is far more exciting. And so some follow their reason. Others follow the empty philosophies of mankind that elevates man above God. Others follow after the lust of their eyes and the lust of the flesh. Others disregard God's moral laws completely and make their own laws and regulations that apply to themselves. Also, others think that they can earn their own way to heaven by being as good as they can be. One of the greatest concerns we should have for our children as parents is that they do not get caught up in the folly of this world. The folly of alcohol abuse. The folly of choosing their own morality in regard to sex. The folly of following the world's wisdom and humanism and evolutionism. And the folly of just living for oneself rather than knowing that Jesus lived for them. Many an unsuspecting Christian has passed by the house of folly and thought, I think I'll check this out. See what kind of wisdom I'll learn here. And they've eaten the bread and water and they starved to death. And there are spiritual bones of unsuspecting Christians that have died spiritually because of that all over our society. God's word says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Respect and reverence for God and what he has done for us, knowing our Heavenly Father loves us, sent his Son to die for us. That's wisdom. Understanding leads to life. Jesus said, if you're my disciples, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God's wisdom makes us free. The father of the world leads us to be enslaved in sin, and finally leads to death. So what's your answer to our concern for our children? What's our answer to our awareness spiritually so we aren't shanghaied unsuspectingly by folly? One answer. Know the word. Don't just know that God gave us his word, but know the word. There are many, unfortunately, Christians who know that God gave us His Word, who know that the Word is important, but don't know the Word. Don't know the Bible lessons. Don't know the doctrines. Don't know those comforting passages that God gives to us over and over in His Word, because they have not or will not take the time to simply spend time in reading and hearing His Word. Our greatest concern for our children's future and for our own must be spiritual. The Bible clearly warns us, what does a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? So we go back to the beginning. What will your answer be? Which invitation will you follow? Wisdom or folly? Follow folly? It may be exciting, may be thrilling, but it'll lead to death. It'll lead to damnation. Follow wisdom, you're following Jesus Christ and His Word. We'll be led to be repentant believers in Jesus, laying our sins upon our Savior and following Him to everlasting life. For there alone, in Jesus and His Word, is real wisdom, real understanding, real knowledge, and real life. Wisdom's highest, noblest treasure, Jesus, lies concealed in Thee. Grant that this may still the measure of my will and actions be. Humility there and simplicity reigning, in paths of true wisdom my steps ever training. Oh, if I of Christ have this knowledge divine, the fullness of heavenly wisdom is mine. Therefore Thou alone, my Savior, shalt be all in all to me. Search my heart and my behavior, root out all hypocrisy. Restrain me from wandering on pathways unholy, and through all life's pilgrimage keep my heart lowly. This one thing is needful, all others are vain. I count all but loss that I Christ may obtain. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our wisdom, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.